Welcome to the Nine Finger Chronicles podcast, brought to you by Exodus Trail Cameras, the number one podcast for bow hunting product information and hunting stories from across the nation. And now, here's your nine-fingered host, Dan Johnson.
Happy hump day, everybody. Hopefully you guys are having a stress-free week so far, and the rest of your week goes as smooth as the first part did. And hopefully these podcasts that I'm putting out can reduce your stress and keep your mind off work and on hunting. And today we have a different kind of hunter profile podcast. We're going to be talking with Jimmy Davis, and Jimmy is going to talk to us about the steps he is taking, or he took to introduce his daughter and his son into bow hunting and or hunting in general, and a specific story about how he had a successful bow hunt with his son in the tree stand with him. I got a kick out of it because as a father myself, I'm looking forward to the day that I can start bringing my kids into the timber with me. I'm already doing that a little bit, but they're still young where it's probably not a good idea to get them 20 foot up in a tree quite yet, but I'm looking forward to that day. So why don't we get right into this week's Hunter Profile Podcast with Jimmy Davis. Enjoy.
All right. On the phone with me now is Jimmy Davis. How's it going today, Jimmy?
Pretty good. And yourself?
I'm doing fine. Did you have a good Easter?
Yeah, it was real good actually. Yep. Spent time with the family and the kids, and here we are.
Yeah, I had 2 days of pretty much gluttony, stuff in my face, and it was all topped off. Like, I wait for, my grandma has this mashed potato recipe, and she does it for every family gathering, and it's something that I go overboard with, so I go in for like third and fourths, and then I'm nice, and I wait to make sure everybody had their fair share, and then I go in and just clean house.
I hear you. Sounds good.
So why don't we start off, and what I'll say right now is you had a successful season on more than one front today, and we're going to get into that in just a little bit, but go ahead and tell us where you're from and what you do for a living.
Hey, well, in New Richmond, Wisconsin, I'm an electrical designer for a company that does our systems, Cure Inc., and huge commercial print presses all over the world. So, like stuff that your credit cards are made of or printed from, DVD covers, that kind of stuff. Like all of our equipment, it cures the ink via UV and LED. So
nice.
It's a pretty neat deal.
So. Cool. All right, so you're from Wisconsin, huge hunting tradition in Wisconsin. And let's start at the very beginning. Who was it that got you into hunting? When did you start hunting?
Well, I started right away when I was turned 12, and that was the legal age in Wisconsin at the time. And growing up before that, my dad and my uncle, they would always go out bow hunting, and me and my little cousin or whatever had to sit there at the house, you know, and watch them go, and he could never go, and it's like, oh, I just want to go, but yeah, I didn't get to go, you know, I didn't actually start going until I turned 12, and that was gun hunting, and I actually was pretty successful this year. I think it was the first 4 or 5 years, opening morning in the same stand, same spot, shot a buck each time, and that kind of got me into bow hunting more than after that.
So how old were you when you first started bow hunting?
Oh gosh, I must have been like 15 and 16. I remember my buddy, best friend in high school, as soon as we got home from school, we hunted together all the time. Like, we sat with each other next to each other in a different tree or whatever, and you know, it didn't matter if it was an hour left before the light went down or not. We were out there. Then it was pretty fun. It was pretty fun.
So you got into hunting your around 15, 16, and you tagged out opening morning on a buck for the first 4 years you picked up a bow?
Well, actually, sorry, that was with the gun.
Okay. So that was from as old as you could, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 years old. Yep. You tagged out on a buck every morning. Now, as a new hunter, those first couple seasons, were you in the tree stand with your dad or your uncle or somebody like that?
I wasn't in the same tree. Like my dad, Ben, I always went. I sat on the ground in an old folding chair, I remember, about 150 yards away from him the first year. And then after that, he let me actually go in the tree by myself. And I remember, before 7:30, my gun going off, and I'd come running up to him because, my cell phones weren't really going then yet. So
yeah,
I come running up to him and bug him before he could even get a good chance to hunt. So
you were a youngster back then, and how excited were you, for opening day of gun season to get out there? And as far as your very first hunt when you were 12, if you can remember that far, what was it like? What was the anticipation like?
I can't remember everything, but I just remember the actual hunt, I just remember this buck walking in, and I was nervous as all get out. I couldn't remember leading up to it, but when that buck walked in right at light and put the trigger on him, and as a 30-06, and it's a pump, and I unloaded 4 shots in 2 seconds. that was pretty fun.
So the deer didn't stand a chance, basically.
Nope, he didn't go very far.
So that was, and then after you, after you killed that first buck of yours at the age of 12, what was the next year like? Was there high anticipation? Were you, I know as a kid, some kids can be, a little cocky to, I shot a buck already. I'm going to go out and I'm going to shoot another one. So, what was it like, going into that second season, if you can remember? Were you just as pumped, or did anything change?
It was pretty much this time I was in the tree, so it was a little bit different scenario. Like, I actually built the tree stand myself, and back in the early 90s, we built wood tree stands back then, and
yeah,
there's 3 big oak trees, and I built a platform with a railing around it, and 2x4 steps going up to it. And so I had done all that to myself, and I was pretty excited about that. I know that. But it was basically the same scenario, nice, big 7-pointer come walking in and 15 yards away. And that was a done deal. I was pretty pumped.
So was your dad giving you tips and tricks on where to set up, or was it kind of like, all right, Jimmy, you're a deer hunter now, go figure it out?
When I was, like I told you before, I actually started hunting, my dad was always bull hunting all the time. Well, then things kind of changed, once I was able to go bull hunting and whatnot myself. He was busier with his job, and he couldn't spend much time with me as I wanted him to, And so I basically like I told you, my buddy and I bull hunted together a lot. Yeah. And we just trekked the woods and looked for sign, and, we just trial and error kind of thing, And that's kind of how I've done it ever since.
Okay. So then during the actual gun season, that's when you kind of were spending the time with your dad.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because dad would never miss gun season. So.
Gotcha. So you got into bow hunting at about 15, and your dad really didn't, he couldn't get out and show you the ropes as much as you wanted to. So you went with a buddy, and you guys started learning together, trial by error. What were your goals when you were younger? Was there kind of like, if it's brown, it's down kind of mentality when you were bow hunting, or were you guys going after mature bucks, or fill me in there?
Basically my dad had kind of instilled in my head, don't ever shoot a doe, because back then you always had to apply for a license, for a doe license in Wisconsin, for sticker, I believe it was. And anyway, and dad, he would never shoot a doe. So it kind of got in my head, we don't want to shoot a doe. So my buddy and a lot of times, we didn't have any success out of the tree stand, but we had some public land around us with some ravines and a river bottom. And during the rut, we would go through and we just walk through areas and we sat down beside each other. One would have rattling horns and one have a grunter. I mean, sit basically back to back kind of thing, you know. And one would try to call here and there, and we just kind of do that. And we had some pretty awesome experiences from that.
Cool. So as you, you know, as you started getting older and, you know, maybe you started going out without your buddy, after, you know, in your high school days, or maybe even after high school, when did you start to get into, like, have you ever been into it real serious where you throw the trail cameras out and you're going after a set group of bucks or anything like that?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I was pretty fortunate. I got to spend a lot of time in Buffalo County with some guys, and I'm sure you've heard of Buffalo County, Wisconsin, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yep.
So I got to spend a lot of time with those guys and be around the big buck. Like, we would go out early and before season even start, and, you know, scouting them out, you know, doing some velvet filming and that kind of stuff. And, you know, from where I grew up to there, the size of a deer was night and day, you know, for rack wise. And it's pretty crazy, like, just being around it got me so used to being around the bigger animals, you know. So yeah. I got that instilled in my head then, you know. Like, all right, you know, like, we can pass the little ones because this is what the big boys can be, you know, this is what they can be like, you know. And so I got to experience that quite a bit. And then I guess when I got married, I got married into some good land in Pepin County, which borders Buffalo County. And yeah, it was, and I still have that place today. It's pretty much myself and my boy now. So
did you marry your wife just for her dad's hunting land?
I won't ever admit it, but maybe. No. yeah, I got lucky. Like, mom and dad had three daughters, and, of them really into hunting, and her dad was a farmer, and he's retired now for farming, and he just leases out to a field to his brother, and I basically get the run of the land now, the woods and everything. So
nice.
Pretty nice.
So is it your
pretty fortunate?
Is it your typical ag and timber type setup, like, with, you know, ag fields with fingers going in and out with maybe a chunk of timber? Describe some of the property that you're hunting.
Yeah, we're really lucky. Actually, we have kind of, I don't know how to say it, the best of both worlds in a way. Like, we have a ridgetop that runs east and west, and it goes for miles with, like you said, fingers coming out on each side, and got a really awesome bowl in it. And then across the road, we have a creek bottom. There's a point that comes off the ridge that actually funnels right down into this creek bottom. And I've always, well, where I grew up hunting, like, was flat land pretty much. So it took me quite a while to starting to learn the hills. And the last couple of years, I started learning the creek bottom stuff and how these bucks funnel up and down from the ridgetop down in there. And it's pretty lucky. I mean, it's about 200 acres. And like I said, there's ag fields all around us on each side of the ridges, on each side of our creek bottom. And so it's pretty good setup, really.
Okay. A lot of big deer running through that area.
What's that? Sorry.
A lot of big deer running through that area.
Yeah, there is actually. Yeah.
What's the biggest deer you've shot off that property or off of any of the Wisconsin properties that you've hunted?
The biggest one I've shot was just over 140. I did shoot one a couple years ago that we guesstimated he was in the 160s plus, and I made a high shoulder shot and never did get him, but he was a beast.
Yeah. Been there, done that. That sucks, man.
Yep.
All right. So, you know, the very beginning of the story, we talked a little bit about, you as a child getting into hunting. Now, what year did you get married?
I got married in 2003.
All right. 2003. And how old, I guess, your son, you said, is now 8, right?
Yep.
Okay. Yep. So let's see. So in about 2006 is when you had your son. How important was it for you to have your son be a part of hunting?
Well, like,
and I shouldn't just this story is going to get to your son here in a second, but I shouldn't just say your son because you have a daughter too. So I guess I'll ask a broader question and say, how important is you to make sure your children are involved in the outdoors and in hunting?
You know, like at first, like when my boy was born, my wife told me, she's like, you know, just don't, I know you love your hunting and stuff. Cause she always says, you're never done hunting. Even when I say, okay, I'm done hunting for the year. She's like, you're never done. Don't ever say that, you know?
Yeah.
but like in the back of my mind is like, ah, you know, I really hope they like it, you know, but she doesn't want me to pressure them into it,
right.
You know, that kind of thing. And, but, like I brought both of my boy and my daughter, like early on in their, I mean, golf. I got some pictures of my boy of a buck, my uncle's buck. He was, gosh, he must have been only 4 years old, standing there holding both sides of the buck, just looking at it in awe, you know? And, I kind of just brought him out to it to experience it, to see what they would do, you know, and if they grossed out about it or not, or they didn't care, or they liked it. And they've both gone on multiple tracking jobs with us now. Even my daughter, she's going to be 5 this year, and she's already into it, and she wants to get a bow, and my boy, well, I don't know if it's all my fault or not, but he's a diehard already. He's already got his bow, and he's shooting constantly, and so.
So what did you do to get your children involved? I know you mentioned a couple tracking jobs, but do you go into any more detail with that? I mean, are you explaining to your children, how a bow works, how a gun works, you know, like how a deer goes from a bedding area to a field source and like tree stand placements, or are you keeping it kind of high level right now?
With my daughter, not a ton. But my boy, you know, he'll sit there and he watches the TV shows with me and all the time. And he asked me lots of questions. So we sit and talk about it. And like, I guess one good example is I'm pretty big on scent control. And one day we were driving by a gas station and there's two guys standing outside their truck at the gas station, all dressed in camo. And my boy, he's like, Dad, they can't be doing that. You know, you're going to smell them, you know? And I'm like, yeah, you're right. You're right. So
that's gotta be a win for you. Picking that up.
Oh yeah. He watches everything and picks up on everything. And, you know, somebody will make a shot on TV and it'll be perfect shot, whatever. He's like, oh man, that was awesome, Dad. You should see that. The arrow I just watched it fall right in there, you know, and it's pretty exciting to hear him talk like that.
Because I have a daughter and I talk to her and I always like, hey, do you want to go shoot a big buck with Daddy or do you want to go shoot a deer with Daddy sometime? And she's like, okay. And I'll show her the antlers downstairs and she's only 3. So I'm not pressuring her, you know, lead the horse to water, but you can't make it drink type of thing. I probably have a little bit high expectations for her at this moment, but what does your daughter think of all this? Is she grossed out by blood or like when you shoot a deer and hang it, does she get grossed out by that or?
You know, not like I thought it would be at first, like her first experience, we got in a doe and she went tracking it with it and she actually wanted to hug it, you know, and pet it and all that good stuff, you know, but she wasn't grossed out about it. And then like even this last year, she was like, oh, there's blood on there. I'm not touching that, but I'll touch this, you know?
Yeah.
And so she's not too bad really. And I'm not forcing her to see it. And I said, well, if you don't want to see it, we don't need to look at it, you know, kind of thing. And
gotcha.
Whatever. And I'm actually venturing into taxidermy. I went to school and kind of do some stuff on the side and both of them have been to my shop here while I'm keeping out of a deer. My boy, he dug right in to help me, and my daughter just sits there and looks at it. And she wasn't grossed out, though, which I was pretty surprised.
Good.
Yeah.
So this story, we're leading up to an experience that you had this year where you shot a deer with your son in the tree stand with you. But was this his first year in the tree stand with you, 2015 season? Was this his first experience sitting in a tree stand with you, or was it earlier?
Nope, he was in this year, 2014, 2013 was his first year that he went with me during gun hunting.
Okay.
He bought a ladder stand and set it with his ladder stand and that kind of thing. And then, so he went gun hunting with me. We didn't get anything. And then 2014, he actually sat in a tree with me bull hunting. We got busted by Dole because he wasn't sitting still.
Yeah.
And so that was pretty interesting. And she was blowing at him, and he didn't see her. I could see her, but he didn't see her. And that was a good learning experience for him. And then he hunted with me gun season last year again. And then this year was he sat with me a bunch during bull season this last year.
Okay. What was how was he? I guess, was it just afternoon hunts? Did you start him off with just afternoon hunts, or did you do any morning hunts with him?
It was mostly afternoon hunts.
Okay. Yeah. So what is, I guess, describe to us what your son is thinking or saying as, I don't know, maybe you ask him, hey, do you want to go hunting with dad tonight? And he says, yes. I mean, is he just jacked to go, or is he kind of like, does his brain switch to like, okay, I got to get my camo. I got to do this. I got to do this. What's he act like?
He gets excited, and then I always try to give him the options. Like, all right, so this is what the wind is doing. So we could sit in the stand, and we name our stand locations. Like, we got a lucky stand, a creek bottom stand, and that kind of thing. You know, what stand do you think will work best? You know, we sit here, we got the wind doing this, or we sit here, we got the wind doing that. I try to make it fun for him, you know? So it's like he's really got a lot of control of it, you know? And just a you know, make it that much more better for him. But yeah, he's pretty precise. Like, he's particular with everything that he does. He analyzes everything. And, but yeah, he's got his own harness, you know, all that good stuff. And good. Yeah, he's always in front of me when we're walking out in the field. So
he knows we're all like, if we get out of the truck and he picks a certain stand, he knows how to get to it.
Oh yeah. Yep.
So, I mean, are you guys doing anything else like shed hunting or turkey hunting or anything like that?
We're going to go turkey hunting this year. He's going to get involved with that.
Okay.
And then, so that'd be his first year for that part of it. But, yeah, he goes shed hunting. Like, we went shed hunting this year, and he actually was buried himself in the thicket and got all cut up and everything from the briar bushes and stuff, which I was pretty impressed with.
did he find any sheds?
We did not find any. We had a bad year this year. We didn't find much of anything.
Gotcha. Okay.
So he helps me put mineral out and, you know, the trail cameras and that kind of stuff.
Too. So you're flipping through the trail cameras pictures with him.
Oh, yeah.
And what's the conversation like when you guys are flipping through those pictures?
Well, a good example, like, we tried to feed our deer a little bit this year over the winter, more so they would stay because they don't like to winter at our property as much. And, but this year, well, it's been logged for 2 years now. So now it's more cover for them to stay. So we were putting out corn and we've been watching, a buck that already had shed and he had double throat patch. So he named him, oh, there's that double throat patch buck again, Dan. And
yeah,
this and that. And we had a real nice hen pointer, probably 150s this year that showed up after I shot my buck in 2015 here. And he's like, you got to save that buck for me when I can go bull hunting, you know, and this and that. And so he analyzes them pretty good and he recognizes them. And I help him like, because before he'd always be like, well, how can you tell it's the same buck? How can you know it's this buck? And I said, well, look at this, you know, see this here and see that scar there or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So he's excited to go with you. He's in, you know, he's leading the way to the tree stand location. You know, he gets up in the tree with you. And as you're waiting there for deer, what's the conversation like? What's he talking about?
He gets pretty antsy.
Yeah.
I'm really surprised he can actually sit still very long in the tree stand because he's just always going kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, he's like, well, why aren't we seeing him here? You know, why can we go? You know, he'll be so excited to get there, but then
he'll
get bored in a hurry. And he's like, well, why can't we go? And I was like, well, we got to stick it out, you know? And we got to be there before you know, at the right time, and then you're going to stick it out for prime time, you know, kind of thing.
So, gotcha. Okay. Yeah. So, are you letting him rattle or grunt, or are you just kind of maybe trying to focus on being as still as possible for as long as possible? And I know that can be hard because my daughter is a firecracker. Like she just goes.
Yeah. He's pretty much a firecracker also. I don't think we didn't do any rattling this year. And I think I might've let him call once or twice, I think. And he'll practice that inside. We got a cabin at the land, and he'll practice inside with rattling and that kind of thing, you know, but haven't quite got him into doing it yet out in the woods so much.
Okay. So this year, you went out and you did a lot of, bow hunting with him in the tree. Was he there during the summer as you were shooting your bow a lot? I mean, or in your backyard or wherever it is that you actually shoot your bow. Is he sitting there watching you and asking you questions? Does he have a toy bow or something like that?
He actually has his own bow. I got him Diamond Nuclear Ice, I think it was, when he was six. He started shooting that, and then he did a winter league. In 2014, he did a winter youth league with it.
Yeah.
And, so he was shooting right alongside of me, kind of thing. it was like a regular bow. I mean, it was a real deal bow. And then this Christmas, just before Christmas, I bought him a Matthews Pipe DT. And he's always shooting. Yesterday, he finished his youth league and he got third place out of that. A lot of the kids in that were like 11 years old, 12 years old. So
he's not only into the hunting and the nature aspect of it, but it sounds to me like he's into the archery portion of it as well.
Yeah. He gets home in the middle of winter here and it's 2 degrees out. Dad, I want to go shoot. I'm like, dude, you can't shoot. Your hands are going to fall off, you know?
That's funny. How many times did you take him out? Bow hunting this year? And were you guys seeing deer every time? I mean, did you guys get busted because he was moving? Anything like that?
I think we went out probably 4 or 5 times together before we actually got a deer. But we sat in the ground blind set up on the field, and I try to get him into that ground blind more so that way he can move around and not be exposed so much, you know, kind of thing.
Yep.
So, and I let him bring games with too.
Yeah. So that's what my next thing was. Okay. So you got him in a ground blind and into the tree a little bit as well. But what are you doing to keep him occupied while, I guess, you're sitting there waiting? Because obviously bow hunting, any type of hunting, is a lot of waiting, and kids don't handle that very well. Treats, snacks, all that stuff?
Oh yeah. And candy bars and juice and what else is Nintendo DS. you keep that sound off, you know?
Volume off, yep.
So
were you in a tree stand or were you in, I guess my next question should be, did you have deer encounters while you were in the tree stand before your harvest this year? I mean, were there opportunities for you to say, okay, there's one, here's one, comes, be real quiet, or were there any successful encounters?
You know, first 2 nights we went out, we didn't see much of anything that was anywhere close. And then the night before I harvested my buck this year, we had, I think it was like 8 deer on the field. And we had one real nice buck that came, we had a food plot. Like, it was an ag field. It had corn in the middle, it was a big bowl, and it had alfalfa around the outside of the edge of the woods. And then we also had a food plot about 75 yards from our blind. And we had a buck come out, and he bedded between the two of us, between the blind and the food plot. Just laid there for like a half hour.
Okay.
Just laid there. And that was pretty cool, you know. And he wasn't a shooter in my book, but I kind of had the thoughts of like, well, you know, if a decent buck comes by and give an opportunity, I might try to take one for his experience, you know?
But, yeah.
But yeah, we had some does come by otherwise, and we never did take a shot at anything.
Okay. But it gave him the opportunity to see a little action.
Exactly. Yeah.
What was his reaction to that?
Oh, he kept grabbing the binoculars. Hey, give me the binoculars. I want to look at him again, you know? Yeah. And you should try to count the points. Oh, I think he's a 7-point. Well, maybe not. I think he's an 8-pointer, you know? And it was pretty funny listening to him say that.
The commentary, right?
Oh, yeah. It was pretty great, you know?
So why don't you go ahead and kind of, in as much detail as possible, talk to us about the night that you ended up killing a buck from the stand with your boy in it.
All right. Well, yeah, like, so that Friday night beforehand, we had seen all the deer and that buck bedded, and then we stayed at the cabin, and I said, well, should we go in the morning or should we wait and sleep in, you know? And it happened to be my birthday the next day, and he's like, ah, let's sleep in. Like, all right. I won't argue with that. I don't ever get to do that very much. So
what,
we slept in. And
what year, what date, or what time is it? Or what time of year is it? What's the date?
This would have been October 3rd.
Okay, October.
It was early.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So it was pretty green yet. And so we slept in that day, Fedra, and then that night after I said, well, where are we going to sit? And my dad came down and with his crossbow, and he was going to hunt. And so, well, I'm going to go down the creek bottom in the ladder stand, and that's where his stand is, that, you know, quote, his stand that he picked out, his ladder stand that we put up in. Said, all right. And the wind was pretty well perfect for that. It was coming from the east, actually, which was kind of a rare wind. And out in front of us, we had cornfield. And between us and the corn, there was like a swampy patch. There was in a creek run right behind us. And the way the wind was blowing was blowing our scent like right down the creek, which was perfect for, because there was bedding on both sides of us where the tree stand was. And we were sitting there and we didn't quite dress warm enough. And he was getting cold and I was actually kind of getting chilly. And we were kind of snuggling up together in the ladder stand and talking. It's like, oh, why haven't we seen any deer, you know? Well, we just got to have patience, you know? And then I was looking around and I'm like, wow, I never noticed that. There's a trail that comes right underneath the stand right into the creek. I never noticed that. I was pointing it out to him. And next thing you know, here come a doe and a fawn pop right down in the creek and walk right underneath of us. He thought that was pretty cool. And he wanted me to shoot the doe. And I said, no, we're not going to shoot the doe with the fawn with her, you know, kind of thing. And like, all right. And I kept telling him, you know, just be still, don't move. And so they walked right on by us. And it was pretty cool. They were there probably 15 minutes, I suppose, something like that. And then they wandered off. And a little while later, I'm like, oh, man, look, there's something down there. Thick stuff down here, you know, I could see the tree moving around. I gave the binoculars, looking, and yeah, there's a buck there, Dad. And I could see the antlers, but I couldn't tell how big he was. And then it stopped for a while, and all of a sudden, here he come right out in this little swamp thing in front of us, and it's a real nice little 8-pointer. And man, he probably sit, 20 yards in front of us for 10 minutes, just rubbing his neck on a little shrub stuff there, and I kept telling Landon, you know, just be still. And I was still sitting at the time, and but we were doing pretty good. And then he wanted me to shoot him. I'm like, no, he's just a little too small. And then he walked off into the corn, and I said, well, maybe if he comes back, I'll take a shot at him, you know, if he gives us an opportunity. He's like, all right. So then all of a sudden we heard a thrash and a crash, and he come running through the corn. I swear it sounded like a bear coming. And so I stood up, and he stayed sitting, and all of a sudden, he's like, Dad, shooter.
So he said that to you?
Oh, yeah, and I couldn't see it. And he's, like, pointing, had his hand straight out in front of him, pointing out towards the corn, and I'm like, I don't see him. And he was on my right side, Landon was, and like, I don't see him. He's like, he's right there. And I'm like, well, talk quieter, but where, you know? And he's trying to point, and you know, he was sitting lower. And he was to my right, so he could have had a better view. And all of a sudden I saw antlers and, oh, he looks pretty good. And he kind of started walking towards this little swampy part, and I had my bow in my hand, and I drew, and then he stopped, and I couldn't quite get a shot off, so I'm sitting there waiting, and then I brought it back, and he started walking forward again, and Landon started hitting me on the side, saying, shoot him, shoot him. Oh, gosh. And I was trying to keep my composure, you know, like, just calm down, just, you know, be quiet, you know, and then I redrew, he stopped one more time, and I put it right behind his shoulder, and off he ran. And boy, he looked up at me, and I swear his eyes were big as basketballs. It was pretty cool.
So, I want to know what. I mean, this buck. No deer were spooked during this encounter. I mean, it sounds to me like there was a lot of, you know, your son's excitement may have potentially would spook a deer, but was this buck focused on something else, or was he just trying to get through the area, or what was the deal?
You know, I have no idea what he was focused on and how. I mean, the yard wasn't even, I think it was like 19 yards. I think I ranged it at afterwards. And I don't know how he didn't see Landon pointing towards him or what. But yeah, I mean, we never got busted. It was just one of those scenarios where, you know,
just worked
meant
perfect.
To be, I guess. Yeah.
So, how first off, how big, what kind of caliber of deer are we looking at?
Well, he was, well, geez, just over 18 inches wide, but he had real short tines, and I actually think he was on his downfall, but he scored like one mid-120s, I think it was, but he weighed 208 pounds, so field dressed.
Yeah.
But he was a big deer. He was a big deer. But he was, normally I probably would have passed him up, you know, because there's obviously bigger caliber deer there.
Right. But
basically, when I saw he was a good buck, I'm like, well, there's a hole in that, and it was a great experience for both of us, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting. Just to, I mean, after the shot, what was your son saying?
He just looked at me, and he's like, oh, I saw it. You hit him, you know? And then he stood up next to me, and we watched him run out along the edge of the cornfield, and he stopped. Then we actually thought he tipped over. So we were like, I'm like, all right, we got to be quiet, though, you know, because we want to sneak out of here in case he didn't, you know, kind of thing. He was whispering, he was giggling, and we actually had, where we come in and out, we had a video camera, a homebrew video camera set up out there. And as we walked by it, we stopped in front of it. And saying, oh, you know, we just shot this buck, whatever. And he was just giggling away when we were talking into the video thing. It was pretty funny.
So, I mean, were you guys down on the ground following blood? Was any of this kind of like a teaching moment as well?
Basically, it's all right, you know, we got to give him some time. I don't want to go chase him right away kind of thing. And we had to sneak out of here real quiet because we don't want to spook anything, you know. And we got down from the stand real slow, and you know, we snuck out of there, and I sent my dad a text about it, and I said, well, we'll go get Grandpa first before we come down here. Yeah, give him some time, and we don't want to push him. If it wasn't a good shot, you know, we don't want to push him and make him run, you know, and then not find him. And we were surrounded in corn, so it's not very fun tracking a deer in corn. So.
Right.
So we got back to the cabin, and my dad wasn't there yet. So I'm like, well, maybe he's stuck out in the ground by the deer out in the field. So we drove the truck out there and picked him up, and he didn't even get my text. And Landon's like, Dad or Grandpa, Dad got one or whatever. And he's like, what, you did? And so that was pretty cool. So we got back to the cabin and gave us a little, it must have been like an hour, I suppose. And then walked down there to the creek again, and they found the arrow was a pass through. And then, follow the blood, and then he was like coming out on both sides. They could see that real easy along the corn, and then exit wound must have plugged up. That was only on one side, and then he kind of like did a figure eight through the creek, all the thick creek stuff, and went to the edge of the creek, and it was like a 6-foot drop off there. So they came back around, and like we got all confused because he got like you know, back over his tracks that he came in on, and they're like, oh, what the heck, you know? And then finally I'm like, you know what, we're going to have to back out of here, and we'll come back in the morning to do this. And I thought, well, I'm going to go on the other side of the creek here, the little bank that goes up and looks like fresh tracks on it. And so I walked up it, and I looked around, didn't see anything at all. And said, all right, well, let's mark it, you know, where we last saw it, and we'll come in here in the morning. The crazy thing is that my wife and her sister already had planned on taking those two to a marathon, half-mile marathon deal that they were running in the cities that morning at like 6 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, how am I going to get a babysitter at 10 o'clock at night, you know? I'm like, oh, man, later, we got to go home. We're going to take mom to this. We're going to have to come down, you know, right as soon as we're done with that, you know? And like, all right. So then we didn't get home, not actually home until midnight. My wife got us up at like 5 o'clock and hopped in the truck, took them to their deal and waited and very impatiently for them to get done. And thankfully the weather was going to be cool enough, you know, I wasn't too worried about that part. And then I didn't get down there until like 11:30, which is killing me. So, but I was within 20 yards of him from where he laid the night before. So he just went up that bank that I went up on and tipped over.
So was your son with you when you ended up finding him?
I actually found him myself. Well, okay. My dad and the boy were on the other side of the creek. I'm like, I'm going to go on this side of the creek and, you know, come back down where I was last before, you know. And I saw something laying there. And I looked and I'm like, I found him. So then they came running across the creek. And, yeah, then we sat and we had a couple other friends with him at that time, too. And thankfully we did because, like I said, he was 208 in trust, so he was quite heavy, fully.
Yeah.
Fully. Yeah.
So when you ended up finding this buck, I mean, your son was with you when it happened. What was he asking? What kind of questions was he asking? What kind, I mean, did you get him to, I mean, I guess what happened? I mean, what was his, was he excited when you found it? Did he get a chance to hold it and look at it?
Oh, yeah. Yep. He was excited, and he was looking right away, like where we hit him. He's trying to look for that hole and that kind of thing. And I said, well, once we get him out of here, we'll really look at it better. You can see everything that way, you know?
Yeah.
So then, yeah, he was actually taking pictures. He took my phone and was taking pictures, and I was sitting there holding the deer, and he was taking pictures of the deer and cutting my head off. So you can see my hands holding the deer. It's pretty funny. Yeah.
So, I mean, now that were you able to save the meat off of it? Did he watch you clean it? Did he watch you take the meat off of it?
Yeah. Normally I would cut him up myself, but time of day, and it was on a Sunday then when we found him. So we, we took him out of the creek bottom into the field, and yeah, he was there when they cut him out and kind of cleaned up, and we looked at everything, like where the arrow came out and stuff, and we took a bunch of pictures, and we took him into town where we could get him processed right away or cut up right away. So he was with me the whole time with everything, and yeah.
Nice. So So is he looking forward to this upcoming hunting season with trail cameras or anything like that?
Yeah, he's been talking about it already, and we're going back down to the land next weekend already to check. We still have cameras out there, so we're going to go check those and put some more mineral out and do some work down there. So I told him, we want to try to do this and do that with this trail and this trail, so we can sit here and sit there. And so he's pretty excited to go help. So.
Cool. And then what about, are you taking him turkey season this year? Turkey hunting?
Yep. Yep. It's end of April is my season. So we got to get up off early to go. So actually, when I was talking to you earlier, when you brought turkey hunting, he was standing beside me and it said, you know, this year he's going to go with me, and he fist pumped it in the air with his fist, you know?
Nice. Well, let me say congratulations to you and wish you and your son the best of luck in this 2016 season. And anything else you want to talk about, you know, between you and your son, or anything that you're looking forward to per se?
I'm just looking forward to this coming season here. I mean, I'm hoping this Big Ten that we had hanging around is still there. And there was a real big 9-pointer too that I had an encounter with after I got my bow with a bow, and he was a pretty big boy there. So I'm hoping these guys are still around. So hopefully we'll get a crack at them this year.
Nice. Well, yeah. Thank you very much for coming on the show and telling your story. And I guess, like I said, good luck. And tell your boy, thanks for listening, and thanks for being a hunter.
Yeah, thank you too. Thanks for all that you're doing with your shows, and it's great.
Another podcast in the books. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. Like I always do, I just want to say thank you to all the people who are listening to this podcast and following me on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and doing all the things that need to be done in order to keep this from going. Make sure you guys are checking out Exodus Trail Cameras at exodusoutdoorgear.com and give them a quick visit and find out more information about their products and their trail cameras. And that would be a good start. Now, one thing I want to touch base on really quick is the next generation of hunting. And it's very important for us and for me to, how do I put this, provide a positive message for hunting and that next generation, and to teach my children and to teach your children and the youth, I mean, even if it's not your children, the youth, the next generation below us, the proper ethics of hunting, and that the game that we hunt is a resource, and that resource, if not treated properly, has an expiration date. So there's a lot of things that go into, you know, educating the next generation on the right way to hunt and the right way to live outdoors. And that is on us, on me, and on you to follow down that right path. Now, hopefully that made sense. That was all right off the top of the head. So if I didn't make sense, hopefully you guys can translate that into the message that it needs to be. So thank you very much for tuning in, and remember, wear your damn safety harness.